Good to see you. An honor to have you worship the Lord. I tell you what, it's a little different rhythm, and it's cool to see who's hungry enough for the things of God to push through a storm, cold, all the media, all the news, all the weather reports that would tell you to stay in, and you came out to worship the Lord, and that shows your heart, your priorities. So give yourself a hand clap real loud. Come on. Warm yourself up. Get moving. If not, we'll have them turn the ACs on really cold to get you moving. Come on. Good to see you today. I want to take a few minutes today, and first of all, shout out to the worship team and all the volunteers and ushers and greeters. Give them a hand clap. They've been here early this morning, and it's been a wonderful day in all three services that we've been having, and we've been talking about this concept, new series last week, the red letters, and obviously, so most of your Bibles in the New Testament, not all, but most of them, if you open it up into the Gospels, where Jesus talks, they're red, red letters. So it's talking about what did Jesus say when he was here on the earth? How does that apply to us in our lives? How can we walk that out? Because it's really easy, even in the church world as Christians, to get into the rhythm of Christianity, you might say, and lose the meaning of what we're doing and who we are and what it's about. To the point that if we're not alert and aware of it and monitor ourselves, we can get where we're not living the way the Lord wants us to live. We live the way we want to live. And we ask God to bless it. We do our stuff, and we ask God to bless it in Jesus' name. And we think because we ask God to bless our stuff that we're being spiritual. And the reality is, God sees the whole picture. We only see a part of the picture. And when we learn to trust him, even when it doesn't always make sense, living life his way always comes out ahead for you and those around you, because your life is just not an island to itself. The choices we make, the decisions we make, the lifestyle, the rhythm that you make directly impacts you, but also your family, those around you. Jesus was very clear about this when he talked about the candle. He said, hey, listen, a candle, you don't light it and hide it. You put it up on someplace high so that everybody in the room can benefit from. He wants us to know that the rhythm choices of our life not only affects us, but those around us. And so when we're living his way, living life his way, it really will bring you to the greatest destination, quality, quantity, call it any way you want, in a lot of different areas of life. Though we might not see the completion of the path, trusting him, obeying him, walking this life out his way, you will come at the end of the journey, according to the word of God, which to me finalizes it. You will come out at the end of the journey on top, the best where God's called you to be, doing what God's called you to do, fulfilled, satisfied, and seeing the richness of the goodness of God in your life. When we live life our way, saying, Jesus, just bless me as I do my thing, you'll find yourself in the journey one day getting to the place of, man, this is not working out like I wanted it to. Something's missing in the process. Something's missing in the mix. And the next step of the enemy's tactic is not to get you out of church. It's to get you just to come to church, but live life your way. And then slowly, because he moves in inches, not in miles. He'll work in decades, not in moments. And slowly get to where you're not even including God anymore. You're just living life your way. Have you ever ran into somebody that used to go to church and used to serve God and used to have their heart right, and then all of a sudden you're like, where are you? Oh, I got busy. I got things going on. How's life? Oh, it's not that good anymore. You know why? Because the enemy's tactic is to get you to think, oh, this is my life. I'm going to do the way I see it. It's the most important. I'm going to do the way I want to do it, and I'm going to expect God just to fill in the gap of what I can't do. No, God watches over his word to perform it. When we are connected to the vine, Jesus said, abide in me, my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will. A lot of people don't even get prayers heard, might as well be answered, because if they're not connected, there's no flow. You can pick up an empty phone and talk all day, but if you never made the connection, there's nobody on the other side. See, our obedience connects us to God. Our obedience, even Jesus before the tomb of Lazarus began to pray and said, Father, I know I'm saying this so that the people around that are listening to me know that you have already heard my prayer. He was directly connected to the Father out of obedience. So there's something about the benefits of living life his way. But his way doesn't always make sense when we're walking this out. And we have a great illustration example. If you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John chapter 2. As you're doing that, let me pray. Father, we thank you for this is the day you've made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. Open heaven. And we look to you today, Father God, to speak into our lives. We thank you for your healing, your blessing. But most of all, we thank you for your guidance and your truth and revelation. For it's the truth that we know that brings freedom and liberty. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1. A very common story if you've read the Gospels before. Starting verse 1. And on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, say it was gone. Come on, talk to me. Say it was gone. Come on, shout a little louder. I got to work you harder today. You say it was gone. See, you're responsible for not only you, but all the ones who are too scared to get out in the snow today. Come on, somebody. Say, it was gone.
It was gone.
Okay, we're getting closer. Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. I want you to notice something. We know later from the text that this miracle that Jesus is about to do, turning the water into wine, was, according to Scripture, his first miracle. With that said, that means Mary had no reference point of Jesus' miracle working power. And yet, there was a connection in that relationship with who he was that she knew if she could go to somebody, anybody, the best would be him. What we have to realize is there is a great place in your life when you've walked with the Lord and you've come through the fire in certain scriptures or see God answer certain prayers. Maybe you've had a time in your life where you're like, I've been looking for a job, and you begin to pray, Lord, I help me with the job, and God supernaturally provides a job or a miracle or a healing. Well, the next time in the journey of life, if you run into that same need, what a great reminder to remind ourselves what God has already done that is similar. Can I get an amen? David did that before the king. He said, King, the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will be the same God who delivers me from the hand of this giant, and he will be just like this thing that I already defeated. He will be the next one I'll defeat because my God is well able. What a faith-filling reality in your life when you have taken the word of God through the fire of circumstances and seen God do the impossible. And what a reminder and builder of your faith that, hey, he did this for me before, he can do it again. If he did it before, he can do it again. If he did it before, I think that's one of the things David reminded himself when he was the most discouraged in his life later on in life. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Lord, you've done it before. You've been my answer. You've been my solution. And when we've had those moments with God in our own life, what a great victory. What a great strength. The Bible tells us in Revelation that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. If you have a great testimony, don't let go of it. Don't dismiss it and don't forget it. Write it down somewhere. I didn't say that in the first two services, but I feel someone needs to hear that. Write it down. In fact, I encourage you to get a little book. And when God does something like that in your life, write it down, because there'll be times in your life you're like, Lord, I don't know what to do. You begin to read what he's already done, and that will encourage and strengthen your faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Another area is if you're like, well, I don't really have anything that I've seen God as far as healing me or a financial miracle. But if you know somebody who God's done that for. See, God's not a respecter of persons, and you can tie your faith in, Lord, if you've done that for my neighbor, my friend at church, my family member, if you can do that for them, I know you can do it for me, right? A connection because of relationship. I know somebody you've healed. I know that you're in the healing business. You can heal me also. But there'll be times in your life that you won't have any point of reference. Mary had no point of reference about Jesus turning water or solving the lack of wine in the wedding party. There was no point. He had never done a miracle before. But something out of that relationship drew her to him where she said, I am going to him. Even if I've never heard or seen him do something about this, I know in this problem, he can still solve the problem. You got to be able to look at your problems in life and say, I've never heard a preacher preach about this problem, but I know Jesus can heal or deal with this problem too. I've never heard in the Bible or scripture about God dealing with this situation. But I know if there's anybody I can go to Jesus, because he's still the answer to all problems, all questions, and all situations. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? So she was willing and had that relationship enough to say to her servants, go to him, whatever he tells you to do, just simply obey. Which draws up my attention to the fact that there'll be times in our life that we try to overcomplicate it instead of simplify it. She didn't say, make it complicated. Just hear him. Listen to him. Listen to him. She had to tell him. Have you ever told somebody, are you listening to me? We know it might be your spouse who's got the remote. Come on, somebody. It might be your children when you're giving correction. Are you listening to me? I seen a little kid once, a parent was correcting him and telling him something, and they looked right at him and they closed their eyes. What are they saying? I hear you, but I refuse to listen. There's something about the power of listening, the ability, because it's not automatic. Hearing is automatic. Listening takes effort. So she was basically saying, listen to what he tells you to do and simply obey. Listening is a developed characteristic in our life that if you don't spend any time in the Word, you don't spend any time in prayer, you're not preparing yourself to listen. I challenge you, read the Bible, not because it's the religious right thing to do. Read the Bible to feed your spirit and develop your ability to listen. Spend time in prayer, not because it's a religious thing to do. Spend time in prayer, not because you're trying to get stuff answered. Spend time in prayer so you can know the Lord and develop the ability to listen. You know, it's being prepared to listen so that when you need to hear, you'll hear. A lot of people only ask God when they have a problem. All right, Lord, tell me, do I marry this person? Well, you haven't developed a listening ear. And we're wondering, how do we find the mind of God? Oh, I know what I do. I'm just going to ask God to show me. Lord, should I marry her? Well, if you haven't developed a listening ear, that's like me going out trying to play Major League Baseball and have never picked up a bat before. Well, I'm just going to trust God. He's going to give me success. No, there's a development that has to happen. And a lot of times we'll make wrong choices because we haven't developed a hearing ear and we are listening to our emotions and we think, oh, God must be in it because I feel strong. No, you feel hormonal is what you feel. That's what's raging in you, and you think that's Jesus. And Jesus is saying, if you could only hear, I would tell you, stay away, stay away, stay away, stay away. It's developing that ear. Don't wait for a problem before you look to hear the voice of God. Don't look for, I got a life-changing decision. Lord, speak to me. Well, if you haven't developed and practiced the presence of God in your life and spend time in prayer and the Word so that you are in a position to hear, don't wait for the major decisions to find God. Find God even on the small decisions. It doesn't mean that you have to hear a voice to order a McDonald's. Come on, somebody. Should I get a number two, number three? You know what I mean? Don't be weird. But I'm saying when you spend time developing a relationship with God, that's how you know someone's developing a relationship, because when the situation goes, when they have a question or a problem, they're gravitating to God because they know he has their best interest. But they've developed the ability to listen. Look to me and say, listen. Listen. Say the word listen. Listen. Come on, say listen. We found out, Elijah found out that God wasn't always in the big thunderous stuff. Sometimes he's in a still small voice. And sometimes we're so busy, folks, we can't hear the still small voice. In a storm, it's hard to hear the still small voice. That's why we got to keep going back to the Word of God and say, God, unless you show me what to do, I'm not going to step just a step. Did you hear me? Too many times when it gets hot, we want to jump. And maybe it's not time to jump. We got to find direction for our emotion. Let me say that again. We need to find direction for our emotion. Just because we're moving doesn't mean we're moving in the right direction. Israel moved around the mountain 40 years. They moved around the promised land 40 years. They were moving, but not going anywhere. I don't want to just move. I want to have direction to my energy so that I have someplace I'm actually fulfilling and following the voice of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so here we see she told him what? His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby, now here we get a little background information. Nearby stood six stone water jars. How many?
Six.
How many?
Six.
All right. Out of those six, water jars, the kind used by the Jews for the ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. So 20 to 30 gallons times that by six, a lot of water, right? Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with the water. And so they filled them to the brim. Boy, this moves so quick, we can read it and move right over in passing and miss out so much information. Jesus said what? Fill the jars. Fill the jars. And they filled the jars to the brim, to the top. Jesus said what? Fill the bucket, you could say. Fill the bucket. Notice Jesus didn't say, fill the bucket, guys, with water, because I'm going to do my first miracle. No one's ever seen this. And I'm going to take the water you put in the bucket, and I'm going to change it to wine. The best wine the governor's ever drank. And when he drinks it, he's going to tell people, this is the best I've ever had. Do you notice that that is absent from the instruction? In our modern day management skills, which are great things, we've learned that to motivate people, you let them see the big picture and how their action is a piece of the big picture. That though you might say, why am I doing this? Well, when you open that door and greet people, and if you work at Walmart, they'll say, tell those people, when you greet customers coming in, you're part of the big win because you are doing this, and this connects to this, and that affects all of us. Woo, you're a winner. When you greet people, when you check them out, or when you work and do this job, or when you're, this is your responsibility, you do it well. And when you do it well, this is what happens. And when that happens, we all win. We're all a part of the victory. Yay! God doesn't always do that. I wish he would do that. Wish he would say, Greg, this is what I want you to do. And when you do this, I'm going to do that. And when I do that, this is what's going to happen. And when this happens, this is what's going to turn out for you. Woo! Can't you see the big picture? God doesn't always show me the big picture. Sometimes he just gives me an instruction. And sometimes the instruction doesn't make sense. And he told the servants, go fill the bucket. With what, Lord? We don't have any wine. Just fill it with water. But Lord, we don't need water. We need wine. I know. Go fill the bucket. What are you going to fill the bucket with? Grapes? No, water. But Lord, we don't need water. We need wine. Just fill the bucket. With what? Water. Okay, so you want me to fill it with, you want me to fill it half with water and then add some grapes and we'll stomp and mix it all up? No, just fill it with water. You don't want me to add to it? How many times does God tell us to do something and we add to it? Well, Lord, you told me to do this, so I'm going to add to it because I know if I do this and I add to it, then you can really work. No, just do what I asked you. Fill the bucket. Fill the bucket with what? Fill it with water. But Lord, I don't see how the dots connect. I know. Can you show me the big picture? No. What do you want me to do? Fill the bucket. But I don't understand. I know. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, how you see it. We live in a world where we live in a democracy and we want to vote. But God's in the kingdom and he says, if you're my servant, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? And there's times in your life that he's going to ask you to just simply fill the bucket. Mm-hmm. But Lord, that makes no sense to me. I know. Can you show me the big picture? No. Why not? Just want to see if you trust me enough. In all your ways, look to me and I'll direct your path. And when he directs our path, he doesn't always give us a big picture. I love my nav system in my car. I get lost a lot. I have to have a nav. And I love the nav because it directs me and tells me, but it also will give me an outline of all the turns so I know my end of the destination. God doesn't do that. He's like those people maybe you've become or maybe you followed who said, don't worry about the direction, just follow me. You don't have to know the area. You don't have to know the street. What's the address? Don't worry about it. Just follow me. I'm going there. And I've learned that if I follow those people, I don't have to know the area. I don't have to know the address or zip code, streets or turns. All I need to know is the car. And as long as I keep the car in my view, I'm going to be fine. As long as we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, as long as we keep him in our focus in the journey of life, when he asks you to do something, go fill the bucket. Lord, I don't understand. I know. Just follow me. And I promise you, at the end, you're going to see. Just follow me. Follow my word when I'm speaking to your heart. But it doesn't make sense, Jesus. I know. Do you trust me? God will use these moments in our life to develop us and grow us so we begin to trust him, because he does stuff in the scripture and asks us to do and reveals that word by the Holy Spirit in our heart. And I'm not saying that you just got to copy people or imitate people or do what somebody else is doing. That's not what we talk about. We talk about out of the relationship you have with the Lord as you spend time in prayer and the word. He has a way of showing you a scripture and speaking to your heart and saying, now you do that. But Lord, I understand. Giving's a great way. Tithe. I don't have enough. Tithe. That makes no sense. You want me to bless you? Yeah. Tithe. Lord. Show me the dots. No. How will it work out? Trust me. Forgive that person. I don't want to forgive them. I know. But just trust me. God has a way of asking us to do stuff that our natural mind does not agree with. What do I need to do? Fill the bucket. Keep serving. I don't want to serve. I've been serving long enough. It should be my time at work. I've been putting in my best, and why haven't they promoted me? Why isn't it my season? Why hasn't things changed? Fill the bucket. Yeah. There will be a phase in our life where we're in a bucket-filling phase. Yep. And we're wondering, God, I'm getting tired. Because, folks, they didn't have faucets. They didn't bring a hose around. Okay, Joe, turn the water on. Filling all the buckets. No, they had to get a smaller container and go and get water and take water out of where they could get the water and bring it back and dump it in. I wonder when they first talked to each other, they said, fill it with water. What's he talking about? I don't know. I guess we need to do it. A few trips of that. We don't know how long it took. It's one verse. Seems like it took a second. I bet it took longer. And the journey, keep in mind, the journey did not begin until the problem was created. They did not approach him until the wine was already. See, they didn't say, Lord, we're getting low on this. Can we deal with it? They said, we're out, which means there's an urgency here. Have you ever been under a crisis emergency? You know, some people, they just live. They don't do anything unless it's an emergency. They don't go to church unless it's an emergency. They don't serve God unless it's an emergency. They don't go to work unless it's emergency. Everything's a crisis to them. And if we're not careful, we'll get sucked into their crisis. Everything's got to be, I got to have it now. Everything's a now, immediate. You're like, can't you plan a little better than that? They waited till they were out before they approached Jesus. And he says, go fill the buckets. Go fill a bucket with water. And here's these guys. I don't understand. Pouring it in. It's going to take forever. Get more water. Pour it back in. Lord, how much? Keep pouring. But Lord, it's taking longer than I expected. Okay, we got it half filled. Keep pouring. And they kept pouring. And can you imagine they're looking inside? And one of them said, do you see anything happening? No. Do you feel anything? No. Nothing's happening? I'm pouring the water. And it's filling it up. What's in the bucket now? Or what's in the big container? Just water. Why are we doing this? I don't know. But he asked me to just fill the bucket. There'll be times in your life that you're thinking, God, I'm obeying you, but I'm starting to get bored because nothing's happening. Trust me. Keep filling the bucket. Keep filling the bucket. And eventually it came, we know the Bible says, to the rim. I wonder if they stopped at different times. Lord, we threw some water in. That's not what I asked. Well, how much? To the full. How did? To the full. All right, we'll fill it to the full. And then it came to the full, and they looked, and guess what? Now guess what they have? Containers full of water. Plenty of water, but nothing to solve the problem. But now Jesus, out of their obedience to his instruction, literally positioned themselves for the next miracle. They didn't stop there and say, now we got to quit. What did they do? They came back to Jesus. All right, Lord, I've been filling the bucket. I've done what you told me to do. I've got that completed. Now what? And we see in the scripture the next thing. He said, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then, say then. Then. Say then. Then. Come on, talk to me. Say then. Then. I got to work you. Say then. Then. Notice, then he said, many times a second step of instruction doesn't come until the completion of the first one. God, give me the next three steps. I'll give you one. When are you going to give me the next one? When you come back after you finish the one. Then he said, say, then he said. Then he said. I'm talking to somebody. Say, then he said. Then he Notice this. Then he told them, now draw some out. Now draw some out. Notice, and take it to the master of the banquet. Here they are, stuck and filling the bucket filling phase. Getting tired of the bucket filling phase. God, things aren't moving fast enough for the bucket filling phase. And God said, it's time. All right, I'm great. I've been looking for this next phase. What's the next instruction? Now draw some out. Okay, I got it. Draw some out and taste it and let you know how good it is. No, draw it out and give it to somebody else. But Lord, do what? Draw it and give it to who? The governor. Give it to the most prominent person. Give it to somebody who's visible that you can't hide from. All of a sudden, when we go from the bucket phase and fill, bucket filling phase, and we move into this next phase, now we become visible because now we're taking a risk. We're having to stand up or stand out or say something. I want you to give. I want you to release something that you have that you don't think, listen to me, I want you to release what you don't think is enough to solve the problem, but out of your obedience of releasing what you have that's not enough, it will become better than what they've ever experienced. God will ask you to reach out to help somebody, reach out to encourage somebody, do something, and you're looking for a Holy Ghost goosebump in demonstration of God's power, and we're looking for the spectacular, but it might not be in the spectacular. The significance is in the receiving of the person that God sent you to. Lord, I'm not feeling anything. I know, but ask him if you can pray with them. Can't they at least have a Holy Ghost goosebump or some confirmation? No, you feel nothing, but just simply obey. And when they drew it out, can you imagine what was going through the minds of the servant? Because if you bring a glass of wine to the governor and it's nothing but water, are you playing a joke on me? Well, they told me to bring you. Who told you? I mean, all the potential risk involved in this. And they drew the water. And I guarantee you, they looked at it. It's still water, man. Well, what are we going to do? He said, take it. Well, like, taste it, see if it's still water. It's still water. It was water. I don't believe it changed until they let it go. And then the governor began to drink. I believe it was at the moment they obeyed the instruction that brought them just a little bit of risk. Has Jesus ever asked you to do something that brought just a little bit of risk? It might be a financial risk and you're giving a tithe or offering. It might be an emotional risk and you're praying for somebody you don't like. It might be a personal risk because of your reputation of, God, if I prayed for my friend at work and they don't get healed, I'm going to look silly. Has the devil ever told you if you obey God? And what if it doesn't work? Sure he does. He does that to everybody. Because there's a little bit of risk. The devil's trying to keep you from obeying, but it's in your obedience to the instruction of what he's telling you to do that makes the difference. And when they gave to the governor, we know the story, he drank and said, wait a minute. And the Bible says that he did not know what had been going on. He grabbed and said, wait a minute, this is the best. I'm telling you, when you let your light shine, God will not only bless you, but he will impact the lives of people. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the glory may be of God and not of us. And the way we get to that process is learning to literally die to ourselves. That God, you're showing me something to do. And even if you, I mean, it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King, even if God is well able to separate and to rescue us from this fiery furnace, but even if he doesn't, I'm still going to obey him and I will not bow my knee. When we only obey because we see the benefit, there'll be times that you won't obey and miss out on the greatest benefit. When you obey because he simply instructed you to obey. But what if I miss it? You're going to miss it. Repent, learn, grow, keep going. Because God sees your heart. God, I'm obeying you and I don't see a benefit. I just see a huge risk. God said, do you trust me? Yes, Lord. Then take some out and give it to somebody else. What about me? Take it out and give it to somebody else. And it's in the instruction and the obedience that the miracle happened. And water. Can you imagine? if these guys got saved, which I believe at that point they're probably going to get saved, they were a part of the first miracle of Jesus on this earth. We don't know their names. We don't know whatever happened to them. But years down the road, they can tell their grandchildren, yeah, there's this guy that was named Jesus. And many say he's the Son of God, and I believe he is. And he did miracles. He healed people. He raised the dead. But his first miracle, I got to be a part of that because I simply obeyed. Our names may never be written in history books, but eternity writes down your every act of obedience. And you can say, I wasn't there for this part, but I was a part of this miracle. What a level of quality of life that God can give each and every one of us as we simply obey, live life his way, which keep it simple. Whatever he shows you to do, obey. It might be a time of just, I'm in a bucket-filling phase, God, and I don't know why. That's okay. You keep obeying. It will change. And it might be a phase of take a risk and step out there. It's okay. Take a deep breath and relax. It's going to be okay. Because when you simply obey, he will bring a quality of life that will change the level of living in your life. Where even those who don't know anything about the journey or process you've been in will take notice of the quality of life that's coming from you. Yeah. Amen? That they'll say, wait a minute, there's something different about this. There's something different about this. There's something different about you than everybody else I've come into contact with. We know it's what God's doing behind the scene simply because we obeyed. Amen? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.